trucks roll by. Shut the light, I'm trying to close my eyes. Sleep, it don't come soon to this highway motel room. Got better things to do than miss you. Passing through, I got lots of time to kill. Yes, it's true, I think about you still. Of course, this doesn't mean that I'm feeling sad and blue. Got better things to do than miss you. Well, people come and people go, some look a bit like you. Sometimes I think I hear your voice across the crowded room. I don't shed another tear, well, maybe one or two. Got better things to do than miss you. I'm fine till I believe it's true. Got better things to do than miss you. Well, people come and people go, some look a bit like you. Sometimes I think I hear your voice across the crowded room. I don't shed another tear, well, maybe one or two. Got better things to do than miss you. I've got better things to do.
That's Whiskey Jack with Better Things to Do Than Miss You, a Cindy Church and Chris Whiteley song from their new album Rhymes and Good Times with Stompin' Tom. Now, Whiskey Jack had been making music together for over 40 years. In the 1980s, they were featured weekly on the old back porch of the CBC's Tommy Hunter Show. And in 1993, they joined Stompin' Tom to make the album. Dr. Stompin' Tom, eh? The title referred to Tom being awarded an honorary doctorate from St. Thomas University in Fredericton. They then became Tom's tour band and continued to perform with him until his death in 2013. Since then, they have developed and toured Stories and Songs of Stompin' Tom, a show dedicated to Stompin' Tom's songs and legacy. We're pleased to welcome Whiskey Jack band leader and banjo player Duncan Fremlin to Folk Roots Radio. It's great to have you join us today, Duncan.
Well, thank you, Jen. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Well, I have to say, having had a chance to read your wonderful book, an absolutely fabulous book about life on the road with Stompin' Tom, it's entitled My Good Times, and had a chance to listen to this wonderful new CD, which I really do think stands on its own. Rhyming and Good Times with Stompin' Tom is truly fabulous. I kind of feel like I already know the band. You know, having checked videos out online, it's like one thing's really clear is how much you love to make music and how much you love to tell some of the stories about Tom.
I feel like I'm in the right place at the right time. If there was ever a project that was handed to me serendipitously 5 or 6 years ago, this was the project, and it just kind of happened. It wasn't part of my plan or anything. He used to invite us up to the house to play the birthday parties and the barbecues and whatnot. And after he died, I realized, well, we're not going to get those invitations anymore. But you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to host my own birthday party downtown Toronto. I'll invite some of the alumni, the old bandmates that he's played with over the years. And word got out. Next thing you know, February 2014, we had our first annual Stompin' Tom birthday celebration at a CD bar in downtown Toronto. How appropriate is that? And a CD bar means it has a dance floor and a pool table. And the draft wasn't particularly cheap on that night, but, you know, that's not the point. We had special guests, Seamus O'Regan, the Right Honorable. We had Sean Cullen. We had Kim Stockwood. We had Melanie Doan. The guests were just over the top, sold it out in no time at all. Next thing you know, I'm getting invitations from Stratford Summer Music Festival and other theaters across the province to put on the show. And here we are 5 or 6 years later, and I'm talking to you 2 CDs later. You know, tons of videos, amazing shows. We've just been touring for 5 years, playing the best theaters in the country. We're still on tour, and it's getting bigger and better. I don't know. It just happened. There you are.
Now, Whiskey Jack goes back, I think, to 1977. That's when you started things off. And I think, Tom, didn't he become a fan of Whiskey Jack seeing you playing on the Tommy Hunter show?
Well, our first intro to Stompin' Tom was in 1981. We released our second album. It's called One More Time. And in those days, the only company that was giving our kind of music, which was kind of bluegrass music, any attention was Boot Records. And Tom owned Boot Records. So his right-hand man, his name is Yuri Krajicek, he approached us after we recorded One More Time and offered us national distribution, which we happily took. That was my first introduction to Tom. I didn't know him personally at that time, but it wasn't until 9 years later I get a call from my good friend Tinty Moffat. She lives in Nashville now, but she was Ann Murray's, one of Ann Murray's management team at the time. They were looking for someone to be with Tom for the 1990 comeback tour, and I had some qualifications. I'd been on the road before, and so they asked me to do it. And I've basically been Tom's pal and musical buddy ever since.
And I think that 1990 tour, you weren't being brought on the tour as a banjo player. You were there to be road manager.
Correct. I was managing the whole operation, which was, you know, this was a huge deal because Tom had been away from the business for 13 years. Peter Zosky from Morningside had approached him. The country at large was, you know, things were kind of up in the air. We had gone through Meech Lake and free trade, and Tom, of course, was totally against free trade because of the cozying up to the Americans. And so his coming back was very newsworthy, and we had, I mean, my job was to keep the newspapers out of the dressing room because he didn't want to talk to them. You know, he was, you know, his attitude toward reporters and the industry at large was not particularly friendly. So he was coming back to tell the people his view on this. On stage, he would often refer to, I mean, he had absolutely no regard for Prime Minister Mulroney whatsoever. I mean, the way he talked about Mulroney on the stage was quite severe, and it was the free trade in the Meech Lake, which he was against. You know, he was the ultimate nationalist, and some of the songs he wrote during that time, Believe in Your Country and Unity and It's Canada Day Up, Canada Way. I mean, you know, these were drunk with meaning, and so as a result, part of my job was to, I had two really important jobs. I figured one, I had to protect the board. He'd come up with the board, stomp on the board, and then sometimes forget to take it back, and people would storm the stage trying to get the board. So my job was to keep the hordes away from the board. So at the end, you know, halfway through the tour, I finally said, Tom, I have to keep the board. You're going to lose this thing. We ended up auctioning it off at the end of the tour for over $5,000. So it was rather a big deal, you know. And the other thing I had to do was keep the reporters away because he didn't have a whole lot of regard for the reporters and certainly not radio DJs. He had no time for them either. So, but that was my, you know, I really got to know Tom. We became great friends at that time. I recorded with him shortly after that on the banjo, and I would play with him on that tour. I wasn't on stage with him, but I was trying to manage everything. But we became good friends. And then 1993 came along, and I was over visiting him one day playing chess, and he said, "Hey, is Whiskey Jack? Do you think you'd come back on the road with me?" And I said, "I'll call the guys." And I said, but sure enough, that's what we did. So recorded an album in 1993, Dr. Stomp and Tom A was the album. And that followed shortly thereafter with a cross-country tour with Graham Townsend as a special guest. And, I mean, doesn't get much better than that for a Canadian country music banjo player, I'll tell you.
And then there's the wonderful visit to Parliament Hill for Canada Day.
Oh, that was
amazing.
First, yeah, that was the very first show on the 1993 tour. I get a call from the promoter saying, we weren't supposed to hit the road until August. And then he calls and says, are you guys available July 1st? And then we find out it's going to – they've been after Tom for years to play that, you know, and he wouldn't play it. I'm not sure why. I think he told me one time they weren't offering him enough money or whatever. So 1993, fairly big deal in Canada because it was the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. And so we did two songs. We did It's Canada Day Up, Canada Way. And then the second song was the hockey song. And in the middle of the hockey song, they wheel out the Stanley Cup. They flew it in from Montreal, wheeled it out. He had no idea this was going to happen. And it's on YouTube. You can see the look in his face. He's just over the top with glee. So it was, you know, here we are in front of 500,000 flag-waving Canadians broadcast on the CBC. They tell me 3 million people watched that show. It was pretty heady stuff, Jan, pretty heady stuff.
Well, you know, I love the story that you told in the book about the fact that the band really weren't quite sure where Tom was going to go with the song that day. And I think, didn't he start with the second verse or something?
Started with It's Canada Day. And Tom would, it's not unlike many of those guys from the old school, like Mac Wiseman, we toured with him, Al Cherney, same thing. They would just start a song and hope that everybody else was going to jump on board. Tom was a little different in that he'd start the song, but you never knew exactly when he was going to be going from the verse to the chorus. And he would change chords kind of, you know, he'd get inspired, I guess. We just never knew. And if you look closely at the video on YouTube, you can kind of see the alarm on our face. We're not quite sure where we are. He's not playing to us. Here we are. We got the drummer, the bass player, the guitar player. We're the rhythm, but we're playing to him. And so we're frantically trying to catch up, but it all works out. It all works out at the end of the day, you know.
Well, you know, having had a chance to read your book first, and then I was watching the video, and you can really see in the faces. It was like, Okay, where's he going with this now? But it's a wonderful story, and I can see how connected you came over the years, because you continued to tour with them after that, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's almost like, I can't think of a more perfect band to do this. What would happen to this song if I put together elite Canadian country players who really understood the genre, who loved the music, and give them the song, let them arrange the song, let them sing, you know, let them arrange the vocals, the harmonies, the whole thing, and what would happen? And that's really, I think, how this show has evolved, because I think when people come to see the show, they're seeing the evolution of the Stompin' Tom music, not Tom music the way he presented it, but perhaps Tom music the way it's going to be presented in the decades to come.
Well, that's a perfect segue to go back to the album, because, you know, one of the things I do love about this recording is it really does stand on its own. The new album is entitled Rhymes and Good Times with Stompin' Tom. We're going to play Tom's song, My Last Farewell. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Walking by the river at midnight, strolling in the falling rain. I can hear the whippoorwill calling, I can hear a far off train. Here's what it's like to be lonely, here's what it's like to be blue. But I can't help but remember my last farewell. I see the riverboat sailing,
it's sailing
underneath
down.
The misty moon,
she's shining.
The rain-filled
down.
Willows are weeping,
they're crying
down where the roses bloom. My heart cries out to the water,
oh baby,
will there be a new love true? But I'll never cease to remember my last farewell. The river at midnight, strolling in the falling rain. I can hear the whippoorwill calling, I can hear a far off train. Here's what it's like to be lonely, here's what it's like to be blue. But I can't help but remember my last farewell.
Thank you.
That's Whiskey Jack with My Last Farewell by Stompin' Tom. It's from the album Rhymes and Good Times with Stompin' Tom. Duncan Fremlin from Whiskey Jack is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're chatting about the new album, Duncan's new book, which is entitled My Good Times with Stompin' Tom, and their tour, Stories and Songs from Stompin' Tom. You know, when I look at this album, I mentioned before the break, the album really does stand on its own. And, you know, sometimes I'll go to a tribute show and I'll pick up an album and it never really feels like you're getting something special. But this does, because there are Stompin' Tom songs on here. There's four songs from the Dr. Stompin' Tom A album. But the songs that you sing as Whiskey Jack really sound like wonderful interpretations of Tom's music. Is that really what you want to try and get through when you present the show, that, you know, this is, you know, having lived with these songs you mentioned earlier, that this is our interpretation of the music we, you know, we played on for so many years?
I can't really say it was planned. I think we've all chosen songs. So there's the two lead singers are myself and my guitar player, Douglas John Cameron. And when we sit down to learn a song, we own it ourselves. So, like Douglas John sings TTC Skedaddler. If you listen to Tom's version, it's not at all like Douglas's version. Douglas takes the song, personalizes, and really makes it his own. So we didn't really sit down and go, we're going to do this song, we're going to interpret it this way, we're going to modernize it. We just took the song, we liked the song, we started to perform the song, and it kind of just happened. Like the counterpoint harmony, for example, in My Last Farewell, we had been playing that song for, I don't know, a couple of months, and in our heads we could hear a reply to the it's in the middle verse. We could hear a reply, and so we called in a good friend of ours who arranges a barbershop harmony, and he's just a genius with harmony, and he put together this really interesting counterpoint harmony to that song, and to me, besides the great clarinet break at the end, it really kind of brings it to the 21st century in a way that we couldn't have done otherwise, you know. We didn't plan it. It just kind of, we start singing it and we own it, and that's how it comes out, you know. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because I love the way that your voice plays off with Douglas John Cameron. You know, your voice is really, you know, there's a very natural quality to them, but they play off each other really well.
We're musical brothers. We've been playing together a long time. The voices kind of just, we just know the texture that we have to sing in order to blend with the other voice. And, you know, it just comes from singing together a lot over the last many years. So
this album was recorded at Canterbury Sound in Toronto. Tell us a little bit about the recording of the album.
Well, Danny Greenspoon, the great Juno Award-winning producer, he came in and sort of supervised this. When you're dealing with, when you're working with professionals, you know, five-time Canadian national fiddle champion Randy Morrison, Eric Jackson on bass. Eric's been playing bass for his, you know, since he was a kid, and country music with Terry Sumption, Humber Valley Boys. So, and Douglas John, of course, has been, you know, hit record back in the '80s, Mona with the children, and you know, and you bring and Al Cross, the amazing virtuoso on drums. When you bring all of those professionals into the studio to do the bed tracks, it's I can't say it was problem free, but it was smooth, and everybody knew, everybody had a job, they got to it, and it one of the most enjoyable studio experiences of my life. And being in the studio, Jeb, it's not always an enjoyable thing, but this was certainly one of the better ones, and I think the product kind of reflects that.
And you have some special guests on the album as well, don't you?
Yeah, we brought in, there's a song that Douglas John wrote. It's a lament about the Tom being away from the music business, or about Tom dying. It's called Stories and Songs, and so we wanted a haunting kind of sound. We brought in the great Burt Carroll on steel guitar and added some texture on that. And we brought in Danny Greenspoon plays some electric guitar. We kind of rock it up on TTC Skedaddler, and there's some slide guitar in there. And John Sheard from Final Cafe, probably Canada's best piano player, plays some wicked ragtime piano on Tilsonburg. People are going to hear Tilsonburg and go, my God, is that the same song? but it really comes alive. You know, it's really quite exciting that way. But yeah, the clarinet player, Sean O'Connor, he's just an amazing horn player. Plays a great bass sax, alto sax, and clarinet. So he spent a couple hours just working on the break for my last farewell. And boy, beautiful, just beautiful.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Tilsonburg. We won't be able to play that today. We actually have already played it on Folk Roots Radio, but your version is wonderful, and it really brings home, that feeling of, working in the tobacco fields and how you'd prefer to try and avoid that area of Ontario altogether.
When you think about what people have done, musicians have done with the old Woody Guthrie catalog, for example, if you hear his old, the old versions with this scratchy needle on the 45 or the 78 or whatever, very kind of simple, basic. You got the verse, you got the chorus, you got the melody. But over the years, you've had, the band and Dylan and, people interpret these songs and make it their own and modernize them. I think you can look at this CD as kind of that, apply that philosophy to the Tom's music, and that's sort of what we're doing. And it's going to be very exciting in the decades to come. I probably won't be around to enjoy much of it, but to hear what musicians do with these amazing songs.
Well, my impression is, and I think you allude to that in the book and the other information that you've written about this show, is that, Tom's legacy is being reappraised, over time. I mean, his stance on, sending his Junos back because he didn't think the way that, musicians making music in Canada were being treated compared to Canadians who had gone down to the States to make music. He didn't feel that there was enough emphasis on the people that stayed home. I think people are really starting to reappraise his importance, aren't they, as a Canadian musician and songwriter?
Absolutely. It's maybe it's a sign of how it's going to play out over the next few decades, but there's no question that he played an amazing role. He sacrificed 13 years of his prime musical career on principle. How many musicians do you know would do that? Cat Stevens. But very few. Wolf Carter left the business for many years, but not on principle. I think he had health issues. But very rare you see a musician of that caliber remove himself from his prime earning years on principle. In this day and age, principles, you don't see too many public figures with principles. So when you look at Tom's career, it kind of stands out there. And then also, we're in the middle of musical renaissance, where you've got the shift of, the royalty money is not going to the songwriters as it once did. The distribution of this money is being disproportionately heavy toward the publishers. And so now there's that sense of injustice that is playing out all over again, but for different reasons. And so, yeah, Tom set the table for the rest of us, and he's leading the way, continues to lead the way.
Even after he's gone. That's a wonderful statement to make. I want to go back to the album and play another song. I thought we should play your version of Around the Bay and Back Again. Tell us about recording this song.
One of the reasons I love this song, all the names of the towns in that song, we've played those towns. Meaford, Hepworth, Owen Sound, Parry Sound. It does the whole pretty, Wasaga Beach, all of them. It's fantastic. And it's kind of a, we've been called bluegrass and Whiskey Jack. In the early days, we were a four-piece acoustic act. So we were, we didn't play a lot of bluegrass music, but we played bluegrass style. And so this is kind of our salute to our past. And it features Randy Morrison, amazing Randy Morrison on fiddle. And I played a little banjo on this. And it's just it's one of my favorite cuts on the CD.
It's one of my favorites as well. And I'm so pleased to be able to play it while we talk today. This is Whiskey Jack with their version of Stompin' Tom's Around the Bay and Back Again from their wonderful new album, Rhymes and Good Times with Stompin' Tom. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Ferryman, ferryman, have you seen my Mary Ann? In my search for her, I've been round the bay and back again. From Espanola to Manitoulin, across the channel and bound. I heard a story in Tobermory that my gal was a knowing sound. I was right behind her, but I couldn't find her. To meet her, I'm away down to Collingwood. There I stood in the bottom of the Georgian Bay. Oh, ferryman, ferryman, have you seen my Mary Ann? In my search for her, I've been round the bay and back again. From Wasaga to Penetanguishene, north to Parry Sound, there's 30,000 islands and lakes where she can be found. From Britain to Bay, she never made French River to Sudbury, they say. She took the ferry to Tobermory across the Georgian Bay. Oh, ferryman, ferryman, have you seen my Mary Ann? In my search for her, I've been round the bay and back again. Search for her, I've been round the bay and back again. Espanola to Manitoulin, across the channel I'm bound. Another story in Tobermory that my gal was in Hepworth Town. I was right behind her, but I couldn't find her. I guess I'll have to stay without my lovely on Lonely Island in the middle of the Georgian Bay. In my search for her, I've been round the bay and back again. Ferryman, 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 ferryman.
That's Whiskey Jack with their version of Stompin' Tom's Around the Bay and Back Again from their new album. It's entitled Rhymes and Good Times with Stompin' Tom. Duncan Fremlin from Whiskey Jack is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We've been chatting about the new album, chatting about Duncan's memories of Stompin' Tom. We're also talking about their wonderful show, Stories and Songs of Stompin' Tom. It tours across Canada, it seems to me, Duncan, pretty much all the time, don't you? You're always setting up new dates.
Yeah, we're all in our kind of the twilight of our careers, so we're not big on going out in the bus and hitting the road for 3 or 4 months at a time. We're doing a tour in the Maritimes where we're doing, you know, what, 5 shows in 5 consecutive nights. And I guarantee you, Jen, I'm going to spend 2 or 3 days sleeping after that. We get called to do the show pretty much throughout the year. I don't tour in the winter anymore. I don't like driving in the snow anymore. But, you know, we tour basically spring to fall right through. And the shows are spread out, and every show we pinch ourselves because, you know, we're playing to an audience that this is a very friendly audience, Jen. I don't know if you know much about Stompin' Tom's fans or not, but I've been meeting these folks. Well, I'm from the north. I'm from a small town or a farming community outside Sault Ste. Marie, and I was raised on country music, a CGIC Don Ramsey show. So for me, I'm playing to my mom and dad. I'm playing to my aunts and uncles and my cousins. These are my people, Jen. So it can't get any better than this for a country music musician, that's for sure.
Well, I think also specifically the fact that Tom wrote so many songs about different parts of Canada and pretty much name-checked everywhere he went. And then you've got the stories about the people that said, oh, yeah, you know, Tom slept on our couch back in the early days and you know, for a while and everything else. I have a friend who, you know, talks about the years that they spent with Tom, you know, way back when he was, you know, first starting out. It almost seems like homecoming every time that you go play a show, isn't it?
Yeah, he was one of the more accessible stars in the country. You go to a Gino Vannelli show. So it was announced on Facebook the other day. Photographs were not allowed. Photographs were not allowed in 2000. Are you kidding me? like Tom, like it's just the opposite. Like he's out there hamming it up, getting people to come to the front of the stage. And sometimes he would, he'd say, okay, hold your camera. And he's going to count to three. And when they clicked, he would pretend that he's throwing up. Like that's his brand of humor. So no, he was very accessible. And I think that's one of the reasons that he always had to carry these two big burly guys would stand on each side of the stage when we played Lulu's in Kitchener, because everybody wanted to be on stage with Tom because they were he was their buddy. They were buddies. I would have people coming up at the when I was on the first tour in 1990, the comeback tour. He'd been away for so long. The attention, they were desperate to get to him. You know, the fans wanted to kiss him. Newspaper wanted to interview him. But, you know, I'd stand at the arena door and there'd be people banging on the door saying, Tom's going to want to talk to me. God, he was over at my house there back in 1965. We spent 3 or 4 days getting drunk together. He's going to want to talk to me. And I go back and ask Tom. He says, I have no idea who that is. So, but, you know, people have a long memory and he was very accessible.
And I think the fact that everybody has a Stompin' Tom story, yeah. And obviously you have lots, you've just written a book, and the show is about the songs and stories, right? You tell some of the stories of times on the road and that sort of thing during the show?
I do, and I also have, I'm so grateful I did this, but in 1993 I recorded maybe 4 shows, and so I've got little tidbits of Tom outrageous things that he would say off the stage. And so I air some of those. I have a license with Tom's record label and the family to do this show. And they've given me permission to use some of these audio clips throughout the show. And you can see the look in their eyes. The audience go, what's going on here? Is Tom here? And they look up in the rafters to see if he's here. So yeah, intersperse all of that with the odd crazy story, and it's quite an intimate evening.
And you also have special guests. I know you're just about to head up into Northern Ontario for some shows. I think you have, what, Russell DeCarle from Prairie Oyster, the Good Brothers, and Cindy Church appearing on some of those?
Correct. It's it harkens back to the old days. Tom told me a story on a number of occasions. I knew he liked the story because he told it to me on at least 2 or 3 occasions, and it was the story of him and Hank Snow and Wilf Carter going on one of these country caravans, and they would get in a bus and they'd go from town to town. And Hank and Wilf were kind of in their senior years at that time, and Tom was 36 and in his prime, full of piss and vinegar, Tom was at the best of times. And so he kind of showed them up at the show, and he pissed off Hank Snow. Like, Hank did not like to be showed up at all, and Tom just thought this was the best thing. It just made him so happy. So we're kind of taking that idea, only we've got, rather than Wilf and Hank, we've got Russ and the Good Brothers and Cindy, and the four acts are going to go out, and they're going to sing some Tom songs, and they're going to sing their own hits, and we're going to just, you know, have a good old Stompin' Tom time. You know, I'm thinking it's really a celebration of Canadian music. It's, you know, yeah, the focus is Tom, but the variety of material that we're going to be performing and the fun that we're going to, the humor is going to be Canadian, the songs are going to be the Canadian, the stories are going to be Canadian. It's just going to be a good old Canadian kitchen party.
Well, it's funny because I saw a great little video that you did with Russell DeCarle, you know, in preparation for these dates. And he's looking forward to singing Gumboot Cloggeroo. And you really got, you know, how much he loved the idea of getting out on the road with you guys and getting to do a little bit of his Stompin' Tom, which was great. He is a wonderful performer.
Ah, fantastic. Let me tell you another just short story. He was looking for a second Tom song to sing. And I'd sent him one, a couple of ideas, and he said, oh, I guess I can sing that. And then I guess he was trolling the internet, and he found one called Singing Away the Blues. And it's not one of Tom's most famous songs, but so at rehearsal a little while ago, we were getting together, and Russell starts singing this. Man, the band, everybody just came alive. He loves Gumboot, and he plays a great version of Gumboot, but wait till the fans hear him singing Away the Blues. It's going to, in fact, my guess is Russell's going to be singing that song at his solo shows from now on. That's how contagious the melody is. And the Good Brothers are going to sing Don Valley Jail. And Cindy's going to sing Confederation Bridge, a very patriotic song. I get goosebumps when I hear her sing that song. And another song that people don't know too much, it's kind of an environmental song. You wouldn't think of Tom writing an environmental song, but it's called Songbird Valley. And when Cindy sings it, it's just hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah, well, certainly it's great to hear not just how you're keeping the songs alive, but allowing them to develop and you know get new life. I'm curious about the audience. I mean, obviously, I imagine that a lot of the people that go to the shows are people that grew up with Tom, you know, longtime fans. What about young people? Are young people connecting with Tom's legacy as well?
It's taking time. The record label, Tom's record label, they bought the catalog from the family a couple of years ago, and their mandate is to take the songs and the image, you know, this hard-nosed cowboy hat image, and bring it to the younger generation. So we're starting to see signs that they are embracing. And but, you know, in the old days, I could call the CBC and say, I've got this show, and I'm going to be on all of the shows. Now I call in the kids that are producing these shows. They don't even know who he is. So I'm really hoping that Olé can do, I know they're doing it. I mean, you hear already, you hear a song. Petro-Canada is using one of his songs in one of their ads during the hockey game. And these are the kinds of things that will bring in the younger generation. So right now it's predominantly the old fans, but over time we're seeing an increased number of younger fans as well.
Well, looking at the way that everything is put together, I have to say I love the book. I love the way that you present the shows to the public. I think that's very, very cool. If people want to learn more about Whiskey Jack, go to whiskeyjackmusic.com. You can check out the videos. You can learn about the book. You can see about all the shows that are coming up and the special guests. And I really want to applaud you for that, because I think that quite clearly you're really doing a great job at keeping Tom's legacy alive and developing it. And I think that's very cool.
It's a labor of love, Jan. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah. I'd like to finish with the Douglas John Cameron song, which is Stories and Songs. It's a beautiful way to wrap things up, reflecting on, you know, the fact that Tom is no longer with us, but the music lives on.
We end the show with this, and there have been times halfway through the song where the audience is applauding. It's a very melancholy kind of song, as the audience will find out, but after a show and after an evening of celebration, and we play this song, the timing is perfect, and people go home with a tear in their eye, Jan.
And a standing ovation as well for a great show.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. Duncan Fremlin from Whiskey Jack has been our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. This is Whiskey Jack with Stories and Songs from their wonderful new album, Rhymes and Good Times with Stomp and Tom. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. And definitely check out that show if you get the chance. Thanks again, Duncan.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, they still talk about them in the towns where we play. Timmins and Wawa, the Sioux and North Bay. The songs, the stories, the cases of beer. You'd almost think that he's standing right here. But he's gone, he's gone. The stage is empty, the curtain is drawn. But we carry him with us in the stories and songs. Old Bud is still rolling down that New Brunswick line. Margot and the cargo are doing just fine. Rose from Alberta and Red River Jane, stuck on the corner of Portage in Maine. And if you're in Sudbury on a Saturday night, you might say something stupid and get in a fight. Or up on the Mattawa with Muffarah Joe, in some old lonesome hotel where nobody goes. gone, he's gone. Like dust on the prairie, the darkness at dawn. The stage is empty, the curtain is drawn. But we carry him with us, we carry him on. Through all of the years as they pass. Come on now, raise up your glass to his stories and songs. Oh yes, he's gone.